Welcome to Sarcastic News. Do we have the rights to play that song? Probably not. My name is Justin Cross. Keep it going. Actually, our first 10 minutes, August, is just the song playing.
Mm-hmm. On repeat.
Me talking over it.
We listened to it three times.
True. Welcome to Sarcastic News Live, guys. My name is Justin Cross, and we are coming at you live. Not dead, but live from the Skid Row Studios, right here in the heart of LA's Cubic Zirconium District. And I actually went shopping earlier. I'm going to buy my soon-to-be wife a diamond, kind of. Tonight, though, we have an absurd show, folks. I mean, tonight is going to be insane. It's going to be sick. It's going to be gross. We're talking nasty, dirty. Like, I'm going to vomit. This show is going to be that amazingly sick. It's we have on the show our guest tonight, a music writer for the LA Times, music journalist, August Brown. In the house, right here in the rat cage, guys. Right here, August. We call it the rat cage, by the way, because there are rodents running around here.
So I was wondering about that.
If you
welcome,
and with me in the rat cage, as always, the man to my left, Jake the Snake Cranny. Jake the Snake, what is tonight's show going to be?
Well, I'm feeling good, and you know me. I don't like to go out on limbs. I don't like to do it. I never have, probably never will. But I'm going to go out on one.
You're the least ballsiest man
yes,
I know.
Going out on a limb.
Tonight's you're like Lance Armstrong.
Tonight's going to be top 50. It's going to be a top 50 soon. Show for us. All time.
Top 50.
Yeah.
August, we've only had 24 shows. So
you put this right in the middle of the pack.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he's basically, as I like to say, he's leaving some room, you mm-hmm. know, like it's coffee, basically. And then right across the street here from me, Kareem the Dream Maddox.
Present.
In the house. Present. They call him the Dream, by the way, if you don't know. They call him the Dream because a lot of times, as we've stated before, people fall asleep when he's talking, and he's really boring. His mantra, people don't know this, though, his mantra, I scream, you scream, we all scream for Kareem.
I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
Like I said, people don't know that one. We keep that hidden. But tonight we begin with our top story of the week, the government, our government, or lack thereof. Last week, the New York Times, don't get offended, August. The New York Times published an article showing that conservative groups led by former Attorney General Edwin Meese III and the powerful Koch brothers had plans long before the shutdown to, quote, use the power of the purse to halt Obamacare. And just so I'm not being vague, folks, the original document outlining their plans was actually called, quote, the blueprint to defund Obamacare. On top of that, the document providing popular answers and talking points to this plan was called the toolkit. Also, any side businesses that have sprung up in order to defund Obamacare are now referred to they're calling the Republican Party the organization. And if anyone in the organization has issues with the tactics being implored, they have to deal with Rand Paul, a.k.a. the enforcer, John Boehner, a.k.a. the boss. Now, congressional leader Mitch McConnell, otherwise known as Mustache Pete, said that any Republican who sides with getting the government back in business before concessions are made on Obamacare will now be shunned from the family. Now, when all this came out, McConnell denied that the Republican Party is similar to the mafia, but did go on to say that if anyone else wants to be a rat, you're going to get pinched. And actually, no, what McConnell said was this. He said to fellow Republican Senator Rand Paul when off camera, but still mucked up, this is what he said.
I'm all wired up here.
I just didn't see an end. I just go over and over again. We're willing to compromise. We're willing to negotiate. I don't think they poll tested we won't negotiate. I think it's awful for them to say that over and over again.
Yeah, I do too. And I just came back from the two-hour meeting with him.
I was on CNN the other day. And I was like, no. We're not gonna poll. They haven't poll tested this.
He sounds like Clinton.
Going and Mitch McConnell, when he said two-hour meeting, I think he meant two-hour nap.
I was going to say.
You're darn right.
So maybe it's not exactly the mafia, but poll testing talking points on whether or not to compromise about negotiating over whether or not the government should be open. I mean, clearly the Republicans think that this is about themselves and their values, right? Right?
This isn't about me, and frankly, it's not about Republicans.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected. Speaker Boehner, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Republicans don't think of the government shutdown as a game. Maybe it's not about winning and losing. Oh, wait.
And that was basically the same view privately as it was.
I think if we keep saying we wanted to defund it, we fought for that, but now we're willing to compromise on this, I think they can't. I mean, we're going to win. I know we don't want to be here, but we're going to win this, I think.
Oh. Oh, it is about winning and losing. I get it now.
He does sound like Clinton.
He does. I'm not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Oh, wait. That was kind of like a Bush mixed with a Clinton.
It's a Blinton.
It was.
So they do have a plan.
They do have a plan, apparently. But on, you know, there's been a lot talked about here with the shutdown, but I want to get on to more important news, guys. The Major League Baseball playoffs are in full swing, and my LA Dodgers beat my former team, the Atlanta Braves. Now, for Atlanta and their sports teams, this is a major blow. Right now, the Falcons, the Atlanta Falcons, 1-4. The Hawks, they're pretty much irrelevant. And now the Braves, now they're no longer playing. I guess people in Georgia will have to go back to dodging spare tires at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. That or drinking malt liquor while listening to high school football games on AM radio. I'm sorry, that was my Friday night. I actually did the other night, like, watch high school football on TV. That's how bad my Friday. It was me, like, a bottle of $6 Chardonnay, which I brought into the studio.
I respect you a little bit less now. I really do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well. I'm just impressed you respected me in the first place. I'm really.
It wasn't high to begin with.
That's good. We didn't finish that one up, but I was going to do a joke about climate. Basically, here's the deal: we were driving over here and we read this article about climate control, and they're saying by 2046, give or take 5 years, the global temperature is going to rise even more dramatically. Than previously thought. And what was it, Jake? What was the quote that was used basically in the article?
The quote was basically like, go back to the most hot, like, traumatic event in your life, and that's pretty much now going to be the norm.
That's exactly what they said. Like,
that's what the lead scientist said.
And I'm driving, I'm like freaking out over here, and I go, aren't you scared about this? And what did you say?
No, not really. It'll be nice and warm.
Right.
I'll just move up to, like, Portland. That'll be, like, the new LA, like, right. First temperature.
You just keep moving. You retire in Seattle.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe a
little Vancouver action.
Right.
Nice and like 90s up there.
Well, the Northwest Passage isn't getting much action these days, so maybe that becomes a new area that people hang out. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't even know where the Northwest Passage is. But
I don't either, but that sounds right. It sounds good to me.
It's funny because I read the UN climate panel report on this, and they were saying that essentially the tone that I took from it, obviously I'm using some inference here, but they're like, yeah, I mean, we could stop it. It's at one point, it's going to be irreparable. We're going to reach a point of, like, no return.
Yeah.
And they're like, we could definitely stop it if we took action now. But they're like, you know what? It's probably not going to happen. There's just too much red tape. There's, you know, it's too much going on. So it's kind of inevitable, even though it is not inevitable.
Right. August, let's get your thoughts real quick on global warming. You have a more positive spin on it right now. I know we're going to talk music. We're going to talk a lot of music. But I just, you know, while we're on the subject, while we're...
Oh, you will have tapped into a deep vein of nihilism that is asking a lot for Wednesday.
All right.
Yeah, it's almost like, let's not even worry about it because it's already done.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like you know the MTV generation pretty well, I would think. I mean, neither highs nor lows, you know. It's just constantly like, we're all on crystal meth, basically. If you know.
Yeah, that's kind of the general timbre for the kids these days. Just meth all the time.
That's the voice of August Brown. He's a journalist for the LA Times. We're going to talk to him a lot about music tonight. And I think we're all going to just pitch him different things, different music that we like, different bands that we know. But looking forward to that. And in the back, as always, she's usually around the backside. Give it up to Mindy Jorgensen, everybody.
Oh, what? Do you want me to talk about what, whacking it?
No. I think we remember to stop that.
We wanted to check in on the Omaha Boys and Girls Club. How are they doing over there?
Oh, yeah.
Money that they won?
No, they won a 12-pack of beer.
Last week.
12-pack of beer. I heard it was confiscated.
Oh.
They didn't get to drink it.
Well, so August, we play a game. We're going to do this tonight. We play a snake game every week, and Mindy participated and won the last game, but we played for charity. We all played for charity. And we all played for the Boys and Girls Club at various locations. So I think Mindy won, so she had to donate her winnings, which was, what was her, like a can of Tecate? Is that
something
what?
Like that? A 12-pack of Modelo, wasn't it?
Modelo,
oh, yeah.
I like that the winning prize of this is to donate liquor to a children's charity.
Absolutely.
That's my kind of...
Tonight we have this Frontera Chardonnay from Chile.
Oh, yeah. Wait, yes. Cheers. All I got is some vodka in here.
Oh, goodness.
Nice.
Well, we actually can't cheap even open vodka. This, Mindy, so I don't know if you can help us out here.
I might be able to. There might be something lying around.
That's what I'm talking about.
Sarcastic news, baby. Sarcastic news live. You guys are listening to Sarcastic News Live right here. That's Mindy in the back. We got Kareem the Dream, Jake the Snake, and August as well in-house. We're going to talk some music in just a little while. But follow us on Twitter. Kareem, you're working the Twitter lines.
Yeah,
right?
I'm on it.
I'm like getting Kareem. Like I picked him up like 10 minutes ago. I'm like, Kareem, I need you to do this, this, and this. He's like, yeah, I'm on it, baby. So we got tweet us at SarcasticNews1 and check out the website. Some daily content going on sarcastic-news.com. And we are going to be, we got music. We ready to go on the music? All right. We'll be right back after this break. Here on Sarcastic News Live. My name is Justin Cross. We're here with Kareem the Dream Maddox, Jake the Snake Craney, and our special guest, LA Times journalist, August Brown. And August is breaking into the cheap Chardonnay, $6 Chardonnay. August was like, I gotta be able to drink to be here. And no.
No, it's in my tour rider for radio.
Well, I got to give it to Mindy because we brought this bottle of wine and I got cups, but then I forgot the cups. And
we're going to be sharing a cup, by the way.
It's an honor. It's an honor to be sharing a cup with you, to go a little mouth to mouth. By the way, real quick, I want to tell you guys, I was trying to write that, like, that mafia bit, you know, and I was like right before the show and I was looking up terms for mafia crimes. There's some pretty good ones on here, like Shylock. That's a term. Skim. Swag is one. I like zips, though.
What is zips? What does that mean?
The best is I'm on the website crime.about.com.
It's my homepage.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a how-to site.
It is. It's a how-to site. I wish they had one to write jokes. That would be good, too. Now, are we... we got a caller. Is that right? Is it August's mom? No. It's not. Or maybe
it's Josh and Austin.
Oh, Josh and Austin. He's one of the loyal listeners of Sarcastic News Live. Josh and Austin, thanks for calling in here to Sarcastic News Live. What do you got for us tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to enlighten you guys a little bit on that global warming issue that you were talking about earlier.
I think we nailed it. I think we covered pretty much everything.
All right. Well, then I'll just let you know. You got one listener tonight, so congratulations.
Hey.
Wait. Say this.
All right, so I'll give you a little quick tidbit on it. Basically, what's accelerating it, the ice caps are white, and white reflects heat. So it reflects the sunlight, which reflects the heat. So as those shrink and shrivel, the Earth reflects less sunlight, and so we're absorbing more of it. So so the smaller those get, the more heat we accelerate, and we accelerate the heating process.
Yikes.
Wow.
She's right.
I just pulled up the definition for the term zips here. So that's all I got. No, that's it. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So it's like not only is it warming up, but then it's warming up even faster at a faster rate because there's nothing to reflect the heat back. Is that, or the sun back. Is that right, Josh? The light back.
Right, right. To use the ironic analogy, it's the snowball effect.
Oh, yeah, that is quite the ironic analogy. Thank you for that. Wow. Well, thank you. So I was hoping you were going to call in and debunk the article from earlier and just tell me that everything was going to be okay, but you're pretty much just confirming it, basically.
Well, one of the nice things is it's not heated to the point that it's passed anywhere it's been in the past, mm-hmm. The Earth of the history. So in our records, it's beyond that. Since we've recorded the global heat or temperature, but it's not past what it's done historically, throughout the Earth's history. So it's not a doomsday situation, but it's significant, I guess.
So you're saying that we do have a chance in hell. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't resist. That was terrible. That was almost as bad as a mafia joke. All right. Well. Good. Well. Good to hear that we have a chance in hell. And anything else? Any other fight? Anything you want to ask August here? Josh, you're in Austin. It's a big music scene. August, have you been to Austin? Have you been over there to what is it? Austin City Limits or?
You know, I always drew the short straw for the South by Southwest assignment. So looking forward to it. I hear there's some delicious avocado tacos there.
Are you a vegetarian?
I am, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So no, it was Josh and Austin, I believe.
Yeah.
That's
why. Now I see why Austin is so fucking weird. Now I get it.
It's called knowing your audience, right there. Yeah. I don't even know this caller, but I know he's a vegetarian.
Yeah. He always spoke to you. That's great. Well, maybe you guys, you know, you can meet up and do a little avocado shopping.
That's cool. Some Willie Nelson Skagweed and have a great time of it.
I was going to say Skagweed. Well, Josh and Austin, thank you very much for calling, and thank your lovely bride-to-be, Allison and Austin. All right, because she's loyal
you're
listener.
You're the one doing the diamond ring shopping.
It's a cubic zirconium, I think if you heard that correctly. Oh, okay. It looks like a diamond, but it's similar to the Zach Morris sketch or the Saved by the Bell, it turns your fingers green. So
I forgot about that episode.
That's a good one. All right. Well, thank you, Josh. Thank you very much for your call. And we look forward to, I'm sure you look forward to listening to the rest of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That's Josh and Austin. All right, thank you. Good night. Good night. Hopefully we get Jim in Santa Fe Springs. I want to bet against him tonight that the St. Louis Cardinals were going to beat the Pirates. Clearly, this is more just a sports show than really anything. But I want to bet against him. And so if he wants to call, if he's man enough to call into the show, I'd love to hear him talk a little trash. Jim in the man cave. Like I said, Zips, I did find that out. It's a derogatory term used by U.S. mafioso when referring to the Sicilian mafia. So I won't be using that term.
I was looking for a good slang term for the Sicilian mafia. Yeah. I was searching.
Who can I be racist towards? Oh, yes, the Sicilian mafia. That's a back right target.
Nailed it. Freaking
Zips.
It. That's right. All right, so we got the snake game. Hopefully this isn't too long, because I know we're...
I can curtail it a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Snake
game tonight deals with newspapers, newspaper facts, newspaper industry, just newspapers in general. Three questions. Let's get right down to business. Question number one. Many famous people at one time had a job as a paper boy delivering papers, including Tom Cruise, Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brokaw, and Martin Luther King Jr. Three out of the following four U.S. presidents have also once delivered newspapers. You guys have to guess which one was not a paper boy. Was it A, Gerald Ford, B, Dwight Eisenhower, C, Herbert Hoover, or D, Harry Truman? Which one did not deliver newspapers? Three of them did.
What was the first one again?
Gerald Ford.
He played for... August, you go first. You lead us off.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to venture Eisenhower. That just seems too regal to have done that.
Eisenhower? All right, Kareem, what do you say?
Gerald Ford.
No, he's a football player. He played football. And I want to go Eisenhower too, but I'll be different. I'll go Hoover.
You'll go Hoover?
Yeah.
Taking an early lead. Kareem the Dream. Gerald Ford did not deliver papers. The other three did.
All right. My theory was wrong. Okay.
On to question number two. I was checking out the list
of
the...
football.
I was checking out the list of the largest U.S. newspapers by circulation, and what I was looking at was the top five papers in terms of circulation of the Sunday paper. The New York Times is far and away the largest paper for Sunday circulation with over 2 million. The L.A. Times is also in the top five, coming in at number three. So there are three more left in the top five, and you guys have to tell me which of the following, again, is not one of the top five for Sunday circulation.
Not one. Okay.
Three of these are. One of them is not. A, Houston Chronicle. B, Washington Post. C, Chicago Sun-Times. D, San Jose Mercury News. And I would like August to go last on this because he might have some sort of an idea.
You start off. You won.
All right. I think the obvious answer is San Jose, so I'm not going to choose it. Okay. I'm going to go with Houston.
Houston Chronicle. Jane Lynch, what about you?
National Enquirer. My final answer. I'm going to go New Orleans Picayune. Let's go San Jose Mercury. Is that what you said?
San Jose Mercury News?
Sure.
All right. Sunday circulation, August. Which one of those was not in the top five?
Going to be a Tribune Company man and say the Sun-Times out of
Chicago
patronism.
Sun-Times. Not surprising. August pulls into a tie. Chicago Sun-Times, in the top five, but they're like six or seven. So it was really just
surprising.
I was a jerk for asking that.
Okay.
All right. Final question. This one's a total guessing game, as if the first two weren't so.
By the way, we're all playing for charity again tonight.
Yes, so we're playing for the Boys and Girls Clubs of various cities to be determined.
I think August City is Chicago.
Okay, perfect.
Your city is, who did you get? Houston?
Houston.
And mine is the state of oblivion, so.
Okay, I sincerely hope you win.
Okay.
All right, so there are a lot of facts and figures I could throw at you about newspaper decline or publications that have shut down, but we like to stay positive on this show, and there is still a lot of newspapers out there. So, final question, closest one to the actual number wins.
All right.
How many newspapers are there currently in the state of California? And this could be local cities all the way up to, like, L.A. Times, but this does not include magazines or college newspapers. Hey, take your guess. Closest to the number wins. If anyone guesses the number exactly, Justin Cross will go streaking around downtown Los Angeles.
Done. done. Probably won't happen right either way. So, okay, what are we supposed to do?
You're supposed to guess the number of newspapers currently in California, in the state of California. Number of active
14.
14. Okay.
32.
Who's 31. Breathing heavily into the microphone?
So ominous. I'm going to go with 31.
You're going to go 31, so you're going to take the middle road. Right, okay. So
I went 14. Hey.
Right. Well, let's just suffice it to say all three of you were just way, way off. But we do have a winner of tonight's game, and that winner is Kareem the Dream.
Oh, man. How many
total
active?
Number of newspapers in California is 317.
Wow.
So every small city has their newspaper. Woodland Hills Daily News, all of that stuff counts. So 317
in print.
Do we
in
have? Print, like, yeah, I feel like anybody. Oh, wow. I feel like this is like who you know getting an LLC almost. Like you can pretty much like. Oh, do we?
Those are active.
We should start a
active
newspaper.
Active print publications.
All right.
Yeah.
City of Houston, you're welcome.
All right. So yeah, you're gonna donate to
Boys and Girls Clubs gets Chardonnay.
They're gonna get the remaining Chardonnay, which is okay. All right. Well, we have the Ring of Fire coming up next, and you know if you don't follow the show, basically the whole thing is we play Johnny Cash the whole time throughout the segment. So we've got that coming up next. Stay tuned or call in 800-893-9562, 800-893-9562. Tweet us at Sarcastic News 1. We will be right back here on Sarcastic News Live.
Been heartbeat. Living by our own frontier. Put my faith into a number and push the odds aside. We swore we'd make it out alive, but you lied. An old dream still haunts me. A time machine. Is that really what you had in mind? But I don't wanna let go and watch it all unfold. I couldn't if I even tried, and I tried. You love me, static 16, without a time machine. Phone call, a future waiting to dissolve.
Ripped jeans in a playground of cement. I knew you then. We're back here on Starcastic News Live. My name is Justin Cross. Jake the Snake Crane. Who is that band?
That was a band called Coin from Nashville, Tennessee.
Coin with a C.
Yes, coin like coin, as in coin.
And you
also C coin.
And you said that they are their band that's moving to Nashville, right?
No, they're already in Nashville.
I don't.
Chardonnay's getting to you already.
No, I just don't really care. No,
he doesn't listen when I talk. I think that's the main point.
Pretty much. Now I've heard a girl in the back named Mindy told me that we have a special caller on the line. You guys may remember this guy. He was a fixture of the show. He stands about 5'10.5". I'm gonna go 152 on the weight scale. Matt Sugar Mills in the house. Matt Sugar Mills.
Hey, Justin, when did you get a radio show?
When did you start going "Heyo" as your opening line?
Probably since I was born as an Irish descendant white male.
I know. No, I love it. We miss you. We miss you. Matt used to be a regular fixture of the show. He came down before we even started the show, and we were first explained that there's a show that does there was a girl that was like fisted in the corner. I remember he was here for that. He was here for that explanation. But Matt,
he was in the back playing sound effects when that was going on.
Yeah,
he's our regular sound effect guy. How you doing, man?
Great. I miss you guys. I'll be back. Might be back next week.
Well, you know, we'll hold our breath. We'll hold our breath, okay?
If there's a seat for you.
Yeah. You're going to have to sit outside. You're going to have to watch from the window.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Creepily breathe on the glass.
That's what we're waiting for. So we have a segment. Matt's joined us here for the Ring of Fire. Now, that's a segment. Mindy, are you ready? You got it queued up here? All right. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. The Ring of Fire soundtrack, which we have licensed and royalty checks go out to the Cash family every week.
That's all we're legally allowed to play.
That's what the budget of
love is, a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
Sometimes when I don't think the show's going well, I just want to keep playing the song the whole time. It's called glossing over it.
I fell into a ring of fire.
Here we go, keep it going.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
I went down. I always like to do this. Like, it makes me seem like I'm important. Like I'm an air traffic controller, almost. I'm like, cut it. This is our Ring of Fire. This is where we do a little round table discussion. And usually it's very, you know, we talk about some serious stuff on here, as you can tell. Hard-hitting news here on Sarcastic News Live. But more likely to happen this Sunday. It's the first question I'm going to throw at y'all in August. Please jump in here. More likely to happen this Sunday. In August, you're from St. Augustine, right? From Jacksonville area?
Jacksonville, yeah.
Jacksonville. Okay. So I don't know. I don't know if you're a sports guy at all, but I have to ask you this, and everybody here. More likely to happen this Sunday, the Jacksonville Jaguars covering a 28-point spread against the Denver Broncos, or the government reopening?
I love this question.
I'm going to start with Jake the Snake Cranny.
I love this question. I got the Jags covering the spread, and I'll tell you why. First of all,
you brought a piece of paper?
I wrote down notes for this because I love this question. So that spread.
Point A, subsection 1. Yeah.
Yes. That 28-point win or greater has only happened 5 times this season in a total of 77 games. Now, granted, 2 of those were Jaguar losses and 1 of them was a Denver win. But I feel like it's gotten so much hype that the Jags players, and they are professional athletes, they're going to have a huge point of pride about this. They're not going to win, but I say they'll lose by 20 or 21. I think they'll cover that spread. The government stays shut down. Jags win.
All right. August Brown.
Yeah, gosh, that's a real battle of hopeless endeavors there. I'm going to say I have a little slightly more faith in the Jaguars maintaining a modicum amount of competence than I do in the government starting. So I'm going to go with the Jags failing to fail as hard as they're expected to fail.
Kareem.
Let's go with the Jags.
Sugar?
Clearly, you seem disinterested in both of those things.
I don't think Kareem knows who the Jaguars are.
I'm just trying to get a job here.
Yeah.
Matt Sugar Mills, what happens before Sunday? The government or the Jags covering?
Well, before Sunday, I mean, neither is going to happen. But it's the government's not going to reopen before Sunday, if that's the essential question. No.
But I heard that talks are thawing out.
No, that's more talks on the debt limit. And then the governments, that's something that's going to keep going on for a little bit longer.
Right, but it's all right. So you're saying that the Jags win on Sunday?
No, I don't think that they win. I think that they'll lose by 27 points.
All right,
there it is.
All right, so it's unanimous here. I don't have faith in the government. I don't have faith in the Jaguars. But I'm gonna be that guy who says that the government somehow will reopen by Sunday. So I'll go government. I'll go government on this one. Now, this is one, guys, I want you to think creatively on this one, okay? It seems like over the past several years, our government is increasingly get gridlocked. Now, the situation and the possibility of defaulting on paying our bills for the first time in our history is a prime example. Another example, we talked about this a little while ago, the gun law that prevented criminals and those not mentally stable to be able to purchase guns on the internet. A law with 90% public approval. So with all that said, I want to know this. What is the government's rock bottom? All right. When do they bottom out? Like, think of the government as a drug addict, okay? What will it take to get us to the point where we are able to pass sensible laws without extreme factions or lobbying groups sort of hijacking the debate and typical responses? Matt Sugar Mills, I'm going to ask you first.
You know, I would like to think, hopefully we're not going to get there where we're going to go over the debt limit. But, I mean, when people's bank accounts and when the economy really takes a hit and, you know, it becomes kind of a calamity.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's it. You know, I don't know. I think some of these Tea Party extremists really just, they want to watch it all burn. They're like the Joker.
Burn, baby, burn.
Yeah, I mean, they want to see it all go to shit. And I don't know if they have a rock bottom because I think that they think that reaching rock bottom is their noble cause.
Kareem the Dream.
So, and if they're driving the bus, then I don't think there is a rock bottom.
If they're driving the bus, they're like Otto. They're like Otto from The Simpsons. You don't know what's going to happen. I could ask Kareem the Dream. What do you think? What's the rock bottom?
I think rock bottom might be... to take this in a different direction, when rock bottom might be when people just become so disinterested with the government. And, you know, there's people suffering right now because of the government shutdown, and there's, you know, millions of people who are going to suffer if we go over the debt limit. But I think rock bottom really is going to come when people are sick of these people, you know, in Congress, in the White House, and, you know, the judicial branch representing them. Like, at some point, you're going to be like, I don't want these people to speak for me anymore. And that's what they say. They come out and they're like, you know, on behalf of the American people, A, B, and C. And at this point, I'm like, don't speak for me anymore. I'll speak for myself. Thank you.
August, you got a different take? You got something to add on this?
I think there is no real rock bottom because everyone is acting kind of rationally to their incentives and ability right now. Like, this is not just a problem of extremism. This is James Madison's fault in a way, that they've created a government that was based around the principles of compromise and unlike a parliamentary system where one side gets its way until they get thrown out. You know, we have this system where all sides are expected to be acting in good faith. And as of, you know, there wasn't a problem until the last few decades, but now we've entered this arena of the unwell where, you know, Louis Gohmert of Texas has no incentive to participate in rational governance, and he gets rewarded for it by being reelected. And until they get rid of the filibuster and undo some gerrymandering in 2020, I think we're stuck with this, and it will be a theater of the absurd for some time. I just hope we can survive it.
That's a great point, right? Because you mentioned gerrymandering in there, and obviously there. Our system was, I was reading an article in, I think it was the Washington Post the other day, but exactly to that point, that our system's designed this way, right? And so I want to ask this, though. I want to bring this up. You mentioned gerrymandering. Money. You talk, just interest groups, money in politics. The general relationship that the government now has with the people, which includes cable news outlets. What is, out of those types of things, and maybe there's some other ones that you want to throw in there, what is the main component within that that drives the gridlock? Is it like you're saying, August, where it's just the setup of the government, or is it maybe like a component within that, which is maybe just money and politics? Or
I think it's all the above. I think it all has to do with it, and I.
But what's the biggest? What's the biggest one? What's the? I mean, is it like August is kind of proposing this general? It's the
like
general.
Like he was saying, it's the lack of. There's no genuine effort to compromise. It's now a competition rather than a compromise. It's let's see what we can do. Like we just played that clip earlier. It's like, oh, we're gonna win. Like that's all it is. It's greed and it's let's win. Let's make our side better. There's no real rational attempt to compromise and do things for the betterment of moving the government forward. Yeah.
Which should be okay. Like I think compromise is really overrated. Like I like politics red in tooth and claw. The problem is that people both have the ability and the incentive to blow up the ship now, and they didn't used to be able to.
Right. Well, I mean, it feels like there's a little bit where the rubber meets the road, because right now there's a law in place when it comes to Obamacare, right, or the Affordable Health Care Act, right? Like there's a law in place, but at the same time, they're sticking their feet in the ground saying, no, we don't have to fund the government. We don't have to keep things moving. This is how we're going to sit here and fight this. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like that makes a lot of sense. Do you think that it gets, August, do you think that we get past that, though? I mean, do you think that, like, there is, like, eventually that one side will negotiate? Well, Boehner did allude to that.
I mean, we're not going to breach the debt limit. That would cause such an actual global catastrophe. I can't even envision a society where, because if that happens, the only good investments are in metals, namely sharp, pointy ones you can put on the ends of spears. I think we're going to look back and realize that the 2010 election was more consequential than the 2008 one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And the problem is Democrats don't show up for midterms. That's the problem you're getting at.
Right. Right.
Yeah. To piggyback off August's point is that the campaign contributions, I think the Supreme Court is now reviewing the law that kind of limits campaign contributions. It's important because
campaign contributions.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, so few individuals have so much influence in, you know, our society. And those, coincidentally, it's actually not a coincidence, are the ones who can afford to sit through a government shutdown because they have the money to do so. Whereas the ones who are suffering are not the ones that can, you know, exert any influence over the political process.
Matt Sugar Mills, finish us off.
Yeah.
Finish it off. You're the last guy in the Bukkake film. Finish us off.
All right. Okay.
That was highbrow.
I'll totally agree with that.
That was highbrow, Kareem.
Going back to your question, Justin, you know, what is the main root of the problem? I do think that money in politics is a huge part of that. It's such a watered-down democracy. You know, they say that the people are electing, it should be the will of the people who elect it, but we have such a disproportionate government, even for our representatives, because of gerrymandering and because of money influence. You know, that's been, I think, one of the big root of it, because there's just, it's a drowning out of the little guy, of the poor, of the underrepresented, you know, and it's just, it's creating such a disproportionate voices and representation. And I think it's because of things like the Citizens United ruling, and hopefully the Supreme Court will have a little bit of sense, but unfortunately I think it's too conservative of a court, and they're unfortunately going to probably overturn it.
All right. Well, Matt Sugar Mills, thank you for the last word there. Thank you for calling in here. We appreciate it, and we love you, and we hope to see you here next week.
All right, sounds good.
Godspeed. That's the Ring of Fire. Do you have the Ring of Fire music by chance? One more time, we can kind of close it out. No, we've hit our limit.
Once we play it, it disappears out of the system I use.
That makes sense. We are going to keep the ball rolling. We started a little late tonight, but I want to get to. It's okay. Yeah, we won't play. Don't worry about that, Minnie. Thank you though. I want to get to August Brown, our guest of the night here, and thank you very much for chiming in on our political system there. I don't know if you knew that we were going to talk about that, but you seem like very prepared. But I want to ask you a little bit about, you've been working for the LA Times for 6 years or so?
8 years.
8 years, I'm sorry.
It's petrifying to ponder, but yes.
It was an even number, I knew that. Now, you came, you're from Jacksonville.
I am.
Duval.
Yeah. Let me ask you just in general. I mean, because Jake and I are both from Jacksonville area as well. Now, coming out, anybody, I mean, Kareem, you're actually an LA local, or I mean, you moved around a lot.
Yeah.
But so you have a lot of different kind of a perspective on that. But coming out from the South, from Northern Florida and everything, like how, describe that for me. Describe coming to LA. Describe your feelings and your thoughts. Do you like being out here? Do you miss the being back? I mean, I kind of just, I'm just curious in general.
I'm glad to be here instead. No, I had a fine time growing up there, but it was definitely like, you know, getting a one-way ticket to LA with a guitar case and a dream kind of a thing. Lucky it sort of worked out in some capacity, but yeah, Florida's a beautiful place. It's full of excellent stories on Twitter of, you know, Florida man's adventures. You've seen that handle, right?
I have. And now there's a band called Florida Georgia Line, which I thought was like small, but apparently
that cruising song is huge.
They're a big band. So let me ask you this. I mean, being from Florida, country music and everything, and sort of that sort of old school rock and roll, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Allman Brothers Down the Road in Georgia and everything like that. Are you into that music, or how, like, as a music writer, and it sounds like you're a musician yourself too, but as a music writer, how partial are you in your own musical tastes versus sort of, you know, covering the gamut?
You know, getting into mainstream country was like my just final deep space frontier. Cause, you know, I grew up like hearing that all around, you know, the house and in cousins' cars and in trucks. Yeah. And I kind of like really defined myself against that of like, you know, okay, I'm going to just Garth Brooks is every risk. I'm going to get into Crass instead. but coming to like it later in life was kind of, it was a big achievement. I thought, like, okay, I can like genuinely sit down, and like Brad Paisley was kind of my like inoculating shot of that. Like, okay, this guy's actually pretty funny and, you know, deft instrumentalist. And then it was kind of from there, and I reviewed the Stagecoach Fest a few times, and that kind of was more fun than Coachella in some ways. But yeah, I heartily am a mainstream country fan now. Love me some Casey Musgraves.
Really? Wow. Okay. What is your favorite genre of music?
Oh, well, that's...
Well, let me ask you this. What's your favorite genre of music to cover?
You know, well, I've started writing a lot about dance music at the paper, just as kind of one of the younger writers on staff who can sort of speak intelligently to what, you know, mollied out 17-year-olds are doing these days.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun.
You hang around with a lot of mollied out 17.
Oh, that's my entire friend group. It's just, you know, come to my house and after school nights. It's great.
Do you ride around in an unmarked van? Like, how do you like loose cigarettes in your car? Just say, hey, come on in here, child.
Yeah, just promises of free puppies. Yeah. So that's kind of fun just because there's a lot of really new dumb money floating around that scene, which kind of draws some interesting characters on all fronts. And, right. So, you know, and a lot, some of the music is better or worse. Like, after Spring Breakers, I really kind of came around to Skrillex. Really? kind of figured out how he worked. And
isn't Skrillex from Florida, by the way? I think he's from Orlando.
I think he did some time in a band that was based out of there.
Yeah. I think it was a screamo band or something.
Yeah, yeah. There's some of that in Central Florida.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you, some musicians cover, you know, they spend a lot of time in jail. But do you, let me ask you, it's true, some do. But let me ask you this, as far as like covering music and how did you start working for the LA Times? How did you come out here? Did you come out here as a musician? Did you come out here wanting to write for, you know, the LA Times or for music magazines in general?
Yeah, I think the actual answer is Craigslist. I got a job as a web producer as my first kind of gig there at like 21.
Really? Wow.
And then
you hear that, Kareem? That's
Craigslist. Yeah, I'm on it. That's how I ended up here.
Where everything starts. Yeah, I was able to kind of just get in the building with that. I'd been like freelancing my whole life, and the kind of thing that got me in there was me and a friend of mine wrote the Zagat Guide to Los Angeles Nightlife. And
oh, wow.
I did this while a college student in Florida, having been to LA like twice. So,
amazing.
Yeah. So we were able to kind of use that as a starting point. Then I started, you know, wrote for a great indie magazine called Under the Radar, while in school. And that kind of got some good clips. And then, found a reason to not get thrown out of the building every day. And then here we are.
That's awesome. Couple quick questions real quick. We don't have too much time, but, real quick, I want to ask you, as far as, you know, covering music in general, what are some of the, like your favorite, you mentioned South by Southwest in Austin, you know, what are some of your favorite events to cover?
And can I piggyback off that?
Oh, of course.
I would say, what would you describe the, like the LA music character like? What is the character of, you know, Los Angeles music?
Right. Versus maybe the national scene too. Sorry, this is like four questions wrapped up.
Can I add three more questions onto that?
Yeah, just get some food orders in here too. Yeah. I mean, the great thing about LA is just it has so many different concurrent scenes, and I think maybe in past years they might have kind of operated independently, but now I mean, like it's just everyone listens to everything, and you know, Kendrick Lamar is doing tracks with No Such Thing, who's like playing The Smell with all these other, like, I think everybody's aware of everything.
Yeah.
And that makes for some really fruitful things. And I think like we're definitely in a post-genre sort of world, and LA is very archetypal of that, just because there's like so many different kinds of neighborhoods and kinds of people, and everyone's listening to each other and like following that grid over the city, and does it make for some good stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Do you like covering music outside of LA, or is this really like your favorite? Do you know, nationally, is this like your favorite area to cover?
Yeah, I think it has the best mixture of, you know, I write a lot about just super pop stuff too, you know, like, you know, Katy Perry's and Taylor Swift's and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I love that there's that infrastructure here where you can go talk to Clive Davis and then at the same time go to a really just gnarly basement gabber rave where, you know, kids are just freaking out, and everyone's aware of everything in that regard, and it kind of all like makes a weird sense. So I just, the sheer kind of diversity of it here, both like economically and genre wise and it's everything here, and you can be poor and make music here. You can't really do that in New York.
I play drums on a bucket, so I'll give you my CD after the show. It's actually a Phil Collins, but
what's the best show you've been to so far out here?
We got it. Yeah, that's got to be the last question because we got to wrap it up, unfortunately, guys. Sorry to cut it short. But
it's the best I've been to recently. I don't know. I review so much, and I'm generally drinking at all of them. I'm looking forward to the Haim show next week. I think they're like the real deal, and yeah, they're pretty saucy ladies. So I think it'll be a really fun show.
Haim show. Okay. Interesting.
They're great on Twitter too. You should follow them. They're really funny.
I'm gonna have to do that now. August, real quick before we leave, where can people at August Brown, right?
That's
on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, obviously the LA Times.
Yeah, LA Times. It's there on the internet.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
For small publications.
Yeah, seriously.
Dirty old rag.
Well, thank you so much, and we'd love to have you back and talk a little bit more. And unfortunately, we got kind of crazy during the Ring of Fire there. But
I know that did get kind of out of hand.
Yeah, it got crazy. It got wild. But
bottles were thrown. Rats were just flying around. And
what I loved was that the theme in the music conversation was collaboration. How collaboration is now the big thing. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about bipartisan politics, like, collaboration is definitely not the one. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah. So Wycliffe John for president, basically.
Yeah. Katy Perry and Snoop Dogg, but Boehner and Obama, no way.
Well, with that said, for Wycliffe John, for Kareem the Dream Maddox, for Jake the Snake Carney, and August Brown, our special guest, music writer for the LA Times, my name is Justin Cross. This is Sarcastic News Live. Mindy Jorgensen in the back. Guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Are we ready? Are we ready to close it down? All right, we're ready to close it. This is Sarcastic News Live. Check us out on Sarcastic News at Sarcastic News 1 on Twitter and sarcastic-news.com. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Have a good night.
I've been here for 28 years, patterns spread beneath these wheels, tattooed lines beneath our skin, no surrender, my Bobby.